This episode includes discussion about suicide. If you or someone you know is struggling, you can call or text the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988.
I want to help people feel good. Like, I want to bring some happy vibes to people's lives. And so I wanted to do something lighthearted, and that's where Needle Pop Jams came from.
Hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Co Primo. Mi gwech for joining us today. Native Lights, if you don't know already, is a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Each and every week, we have wonderful conversations with great guests from a whole lot of different backgrounds. We're talking musicians, artists, healthcare advocates, authors, cooks. Most, if not all of them, have a wonderful mixture of passions, and we talk to them about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And we also hit on the big point of finding purpose in our lives and amplifying Native voices. And today, we continue that mission. How are you doing, Leah? What's up?
I'm excellent, Cole. How are you?
I'm amazing. I don't have wasps that I have to deal with in my office.
You know, I wasn't going to bring it up, but yeah. So for some reason, we have what I believe are yellow jackets in our house, and they are getting in somewhere, from somewhere, and I don't know where they're getting in. So if you hear a bzzz sound, that's just my little buddies here joining the conversation. So
do they hang out around your garden?
I don't know. They're like in the lawn or in the grass. And you know, we have a log home, so they've probably found a little crack to hang out in there in the logs. But yeah, every once in a while a couple will get in and just hang out in our windows and I shoo them outside. But
sorry, I just had to bring it up, but I also wanted to talk about your garden and, you know, just like, what do you got growing there?
Well, as you know, Cole, I was in Pittsburgh for a month, so we planted a bunch of peppers. So green peppers, jalapenos, even a ghost pepper plant. Yeah, so some really good stuff there, and we also planted pumpkins. How about you, Cole? Do you have a little herb garden going or anything like that?
Oh, no. I ask because I'm just jealous. I mean, I'm a city dude. We're in the city here. We don't really have too much room to make a garden or anything, but we do have a lot of plants, of course, just to green up the area. I don't know. I was just curious because our guest today has, you know, a big background with, indigenous plants and, you know, the native food that we have here. And, you know, I'm just curious because, man, I just want that garden someday.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not in a garden, but also in the river here, Prairie River, we have wild rice, too, coming in.
That's right. And that's a big part of one of our guests' previous works, cookbooks. But without further ado, let's just get to what we're talking about here. Our guest today is Tashia Hart. Tashia, who is Red Lake Anishinaabe, is a culinary ethnobotanist, artist, photographer, award-winning author, and cook. Tashia just released her debut work of contemporary romance called Native Love Jams. Love that title. You may have also seen her 2021 cookbook, The Good Berry Cookbook. She lives in Duluth with her husband and their son, and they also have a turtle, which I just couldn't help but note. So I can't wait to talk to her about all these passions of hers and this new book, of course. And here she is. Buju Tashia.
Buju, Dindis Queen Degu, Tashia Hart Jaganashimo Indigenous Kaz, Misquagami Wizaga Gunning and Dunjaba, Wanigami Singanda. Hey everyone, my name is Tashia Hart. I'm from the Red Lake Nation, joining you today from Duluth, Minnesota.
Great. How are you doing? How's the family doing?
Family is great. Just got the little one down to sleep. Actually, I kept him up from his nap and he just passed out. He's learning the joy of sidewalk chalk this summer at 18 months. So we've been doing a lot of that. And the hubby is downstairs working on a documentary. So we're all doing great.
Awesome. Well, Tashia, what's on your mind these days?
Oh, man. You know, honestly, there's not a whole lot on my brain right now. And that's sort of the way I like it. Just for like this short period of like, you know, a couple of days after I'm finishing up this book. Because my brain has just been like on fire for weeks trying to finish this, my latest book, Native Love Jams. And, you know, just up in the middle of the night working at the end of the bed, you know, while the rest of the family sleeps. And it's finally done. And my brain is just like, it's just in that place where, you know, I'm trying to find that calm before the next big storm hits, basically. So.
The new book, let's talk about it, Native Love Jams. I love the title, by the way. Just what is it and how did it come about?
So this is my fourth book. And my first book is like the exact opposite of this book. And that was Girl Unreserved. And that was like, that was a very sort of like trauma-based. It was like a retelling of my own coming of age story, basically. And so working from that, to this book is like where I'm at right now in my life, where, you know, I've put in a lot of work to like heal and move past that stuff. And like right now, I just want to like, I want to help people feel good. Like I want to, you know, bring some happy vibes to people's lives. And so that's where, you know, I wanted to do something lighthearted. And that's where Native Love Jams came from.
I also have to acknowledge the amazing artwork on the front of the book. Could you talk about that and who did that?
A little known artist named Jonathan Thunder, aka my hubby, did the cover. And it's kind of funny because so this was like last year and the book wasn't done yet, but I was trying to get the cover art done so that I could start promoting the book, you know, before it was done. So he was in the middle of like, it was some big project or two or three big projects, you know, that he was working on. And I didn't want to say, hey, sweetie, do you want to like stop and like do what you're doing to like make me this awesome cover? So what I did was I went on Fiverr and I paid somebody, it was like $100 to like come up with something, you know. I didn't have a huge budget for this book. This is a self-published book, by the way. Three out of the four of my books are self-published. So anyway, the original version of this was not nearly this awesome or lovely. It was clearly clip art. And when my husband seen that, he stopped what he was doing and basically made me this awesome cover and then surprised me with it. He actually got busted. I like walked into his office one day and he was just like, you know, working on it. And I was just like, what are you doing? So that's where the cover came from. I'm just really blessed to know a great artist.
Yeah, that's great that he detected the clip art.
Well, can you tell us just a little more about Native Love Jams? Who's the main character? Is there anything else we should prepare ourselves for when reading it?
Well, the main character is Winnow, and it's actually the same main character as Girl Unreserved. So if anybody who has read that book, they'll remember the character. So she is sort of loosely based after, you know, my own character and adventures with foraging and cooking at food summits and working in kitchens. And so there's a lot of descriptive words of, you know, like food and how it connects to love and the feelings that, you know, food kind of brings out for us, like in our spirits and our hearts, and how we can share that with people. So the tagline is two cooks go foraging and find love in a berry patch. That kind of just sums up the, you know, the book. And I, when I set out to write this book, I was trying to write a sweet romance. So I don't read romance, by the way. So this was, this took a lot of like research, which is kind of funny. You know, researching love. And when I was writing the book, I was sort of like writing these passages and like making myself blush. And, you know, I was like, can I write this? Like just asking into the wind, like, am I allowed to write these things? You know what I mean? And it's not really that spicy, but I did set out to write a sweet romance. And, but I've heard that it's heard back from, you know, people that have read it, that it's actually a little spicy. So I don't know, maybe just prepare yourself for that.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on finishing. That's so exciting and it looks beautiful. And yeah, I look forward to reading it, reading a bit more of it, I should say. But can we talk a bit about your publishing company? I know we've talked a little bit about this before, and I think it's so compelling how you started your company, why you started the company, and the importance of the name of the publishing company.
Yeah, so Not Too Far Removed Press. I started back in 2020. When I published my second book, Gidgee and the Wolves, which is a middle grade illustrated book. And that book, I submitted that book to a lot of editors, a lot of publishing companies. And, you know, I got some like editors that were interested and they wanted to read like the full manuscript. But what I was hearing back was that the character Gidgee, who is a young Ojibwe girl, was too far removed from, you know, what mainstream readers could identify with. And so, you know, I think I tried for like maybe another month or so, and then I said, you know, hell with it. This book is, it's almost done, you know, it's done, you know, it just needs some editing. You know, I got to write this. I got to get it published. So I just, I learned how to format a book and how to, you know, I did the illustrations and my husband, Jonathan, he inked them and I figured out how to make a cover. And so Not Too Far Removed Press. So I was told that the character was too far removed. So that's sort of my way of saying, you know, I disagree with that. You know, I think that these characters and these stories and, you know, our language, because there's, you know, cultural and language representation in that book and in all the books that I want to publish through the press. So, and I don't think it's too far removed. And I think a lot of other, you know, people would also think that.
That's amazing. I think that's something that has been more prevalent nowadays, gladly, is, you know, media that traditionally thought, you know, most people aren't going to want this because, like you said, it's not of the majority, you know, majority of what people are experiencing. But when you see what's happening recently, a lot of people are interested in, like, Reservation Dogs and everything that's coming out. It's great to see that.
Yeah, I agree. It's inspiring, and, you know, I think it gives a lot of young people of all ages, you know, some hope and inspiration.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Red Lake Nation citizen Tashia Hart. She's a culinary ethnobotanist, artist, photographer, award-winning author, and cook.
We were talking a little bit about your cookbook in the intro of this. Actually, it's one of the ones that wasn't published by yourself. Could you talk about just the cookbook and, you know, just what led up to all that? Because there was like, what, 75 different recipes? That's a lot of work.
Yeah, so it was kind of like serendipitous for me, because it was right around that time that I like had a dream that I needed to get back to learning about wild rice. And so it was right around that time that the editor approached me, and I said, yeah, I'll do that. Anyway, it took at least two and a half years to do the book. And there was probably about over a dozen contributors, I believe, with recipes. A few were from Red Lake, where I'm from, and then across the country also. I think there was a couple of my contributors from down in Oklahoma. So that book actually ended up being a lot more, having a more of a personal thread than I imagined or than I expected when I first set out to write the book. And I knew it would have a personal sort of like a thread woven through it. I just tried to balance, you know, like my story with the recipes, with information about plants and stuff like that. And along with the images also, which was a really fun part of the book, making the book for me, was like taking all the pictures for the book.
And if you don't mind, you mentioned like the personal thread that you're talking about. In some of my research for the interview, I looked at, you have a YouTube page, right? And one of the recent videos was on, well, somewhat recent, plants and healing. And could you just talk about, you know, your mental health journey and just how you've healed with the help of, you know, plants and animals?
So for me, it goes back to when I was a teenager, and I had some really things happen, you know what I mean? And when I was a teenager, I tried to commit suicide, you know, more than once. Thankfully, it didn't work. But I just remember, like, so PTSD and like the mental states of PTSD, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's sort of like where I was at, like this torture cell, you know, like in my brain that was just like reverberating like pretty much every second of every day for, you know, for a really long time. So when I was 16, I'd been praying a lot, like a lot for help, because I felt just like so alone, you know, like I had family around me, but I felt like I couldn't tell people what was going on with me. You know, like I didn't want my family to be hurt or, you know, be involved in some kind of a way. And so I didn't tell anybody what was going on. And, but this one morning I had a dream. It was a corn plant that came to me. It was a woman. And I woke up in this field, and I was growing in this field. And I was a corn plant, but I was a woman, and I could just feel like the power of the earth just like pumping through me. And like I had this little like a corn child in my arms. And I just remember feeling like so powerful and so grounded. Like I felt like a whole person for the first time. And that was sort of like the first interaction with plant spirits that sort of really set me on my path. And of course I had a lot of hard work and ahead of me, but that's the one that changed my path. So that's when I knew that's when I actually didn't feel alone, you know. So I've always felt like the plants have been with me since then, and you know, they're really good listeners.
That's really powerful, and thank you so much for sharing. I know it can be difficult to share like that, and so thank you so much.
Thank you, Tashia, for sharing and sharing that dream. Wow, what a powerful dream. Getting strength from the earth and seeing that like you're like a corn plant, but feeling like a person. Like how being connected to the plants, like we realize our humanity, like kind of an orientation. And I hadn't, you mentioned talking to the plants or communicating with them. And do you do that still? Do you talk to your plants?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll touch on what you said, you know, about the form and, you know, feeling human, basically. You know, as a young woman, I was struggling to feel like any sort of strength, you know, as a young woman. And so feeling myself as like a corn woman, like it's sort of like that was the first time that I felt really strong in like in the form and in the energy and the power of a woman. So, and then feeling, you know, I felt like I was really alone and disconnected and, you know, feeling that strength of the earth. It's like that spirit showed me exactly what I needed to feel, you know, and needed to see in that moment. And, yeah, I definitely felt more human, you know what I mean? And that from that relation, you know, like from that relational standpoint. Yeah. And I do talk to plants. I still talk to plants all the time. Anytime I see plants, I will talk to them, whether it's, in my mind or, cause plants, they don't, you know, they don't, I've never heard a plant, you know, say something like how we say it, you know, it's always, it almost feels like, I don't even know how to describe it. It feels like an overlay or like it's in a different dimension. It's like, I don't know, you know, like I do hear voices and sometimes I see pictures, you know, I'll see like, images in my mind, when plants are talking to me. And so I always try to be aware and kind, even to like my food that I'm eating, you know, and so, yeah, I always say Miigwech and Buju. And if there's anything you want to share with me today.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm thinking of, you know, how do we communicate then with our plant relatives? Is it through, you know, just talking English or is it through other language? Anishinaabe, Moen, or touch, you know, like there's a lot of different languages we can converse with.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's just, I guess my own personal experience, it feels like, you know, they're just like somehow connecting to the language cortex or the language center in the brain, you know, like, so almost like overriding, you know, that the verbal, but it's weird because it's like, it's not spoken, but it's spoken like, cause I hear words, you know what I mean? Like, is that weird? Like, it's not the verbal, but you can still hear words. Like you can hear directions or yeses or nos, or you get a feeling of if it's okay to pick here or, you know, how much or when, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's very interesting. Yeah.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Tashia Hart, culinary ethnobotanist, artist, photographer, award-winning author, and a cook who is Red Lake Anishinaabe. When you had the dream, so where did you take it from there? I know it seems a big mission in your life is to, like you said, provide good vibes. But is it also to share that whole aspect of plants and healing with other people? Is that correct?
Yeah. So where did I go from there? After I turned 18, I was homeless in Bemidji, Minnesota. And then I was always, you know, working, you know, wherever I could get a job. And then when I think I was like 20, I went to Bemidji State for biology. And I went for biology because I love, you know, nature and the you know, our universe. But I also went for biology because I've been writing, you know, since I was a kid, and I wanted to write more realistic science fiction. So that was the second reason why I went for biology. And I right now I'm working on, so I've got a few projects going for my next book, and one of them is like a star saga that will be like a combination of like you know, the natural world with you know, people from the stars and other dimensions, and what that would look like, you know, like on reservations or like in our, you know, our urban centers, you know, and so there'll be, you know, native characters and then also alien characters or, you know, multidimensionals and just sort of like, and I want to have like a romantic sort of like thread running through it, but also like, you know, comedy and yeah. So that's sort of like where I'm going to go next, and there'll definitely be plants and healing involved in that series as well. So.
Well, how about we talk about the exhibit at the American Indian Community Housing Organization, the Indigenous Expressions, Love, Culture, and Reinvention. Your work is there with Shanoa Williams and Sam Zimmerman. And what is your contribution to the exhibit, Tashia?
So for that exhibit, I have four pieces, and they are all digital. So I created them, they're illustrations created digitally, and then I printed them. And they are food and love themed, and accompanying them are large, poems, not like long, large, but they're like printed really big. So you can see the poem like from across the room, and they're meant to be humorous and sort of fun. And so like one is an image of a woman with a straw, taking a bite of a strawberry, and it's Odaiman stained skin for the snagging wind. And then there's another one with the a person with a colorful corn cob underneath their chin. And that one is carry mandaman under your chin and soon you'll say gazaga in. So yeah, the pieces are, when I was preparing for that show, I was still editing Native Love Jams. And so I couldn't get away from those themes. And that's, I just wanted to further explore the themes and through a different medium. So that was really fun.
Chimi Gwech, for, you know, sharing everything you did today. I really appreciate you and your time, and, you know, look forward to keeping up to date on your journey and new works and all that.
Hey, thank you. Mi Gwech to you also.
So thank you to Tashia Hart, who is a culinary ethnobotanist, artist, photographer, award-winning author, cook, and much more. And she's a Red Lake Anishinaabe. I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening. Gigawabamin. Native Lights, Where Indigenous Voices Shine, is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.